stand, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, yet God crushed you for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp such tender compassion? Who can fathom this mercy so free? You are beautiful beyond description, Lamb of God who died for me.
Sometimes I think about that song and think it might be written wrong. When you find yourself standing in the presence of God and you're in awe of him, there's a part of me that wants to fall to my face and to bow my head and to kneel before him and to recognize his lordship over me in a very honoring and in a respectful way, like you would approach a king and you'd kneel and kiss the ring, if you will. And sometimes I think, man, I shouldn't be standing. And yet there's every reason to stand in awe and to just look to him with an amaze of who he is. So however that song resonates in your spirit, just honor him. Respect who he is in everything you say and do. And allow his Holy Spirit to just guide your heart as you recognize him in your daily living. We're going to take an opportunity at this time to just give thanks through offerings. And thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. We've had a few rough months. I won't lie about it. It's been tough, wondering if we're going to make budget each month. This last month was a good month. And so I believe, if I read the numbers correctly, we made budget, and hallelujah. That's a good thing. And so let's just continue to just be thankful for the privilege it is that we have to give. And whatever that ends up becoming, may it honor God. Amen. Let's just give him thanks for the privilege we have. Lord, we're thankful that we can give. This is a difficult economy. Certainly the amount of money that comes into our accounts seems less at times because expenses are so much higher. But Lord, we know that we can give of our first fruits to you. Regardless of where we are in our financial status, if we're struggling, if we've got enough, wherever it might be, Lord, we know that we can give from the first fruits and just trust that you take care of the rest of our needs. What a privilege it is to give to you, Lord, to just say, here's a small portion of the blessing. May it go to your kingdom, Lord, and your furtherance for your ministry, for your people. And so, Lord, we're thankful that we can give and ask a blessing to be upon it for each and every one that is able. And as we just trust you with all that comes in, may it go towards you and what you have for us and what you have in store. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're welcome to give in the offering here at the offering plates or online or however you feel led to do so. But let's just continue to thank him as we do our offering and worship him.
By your name there are miracles. Your love grows greater than the fear that we hold to. By your wonder you have opened wide. The gates of heaven and the earth collide. We've seen you move and there's nothing you can do. King of heaven, come and fill this place with your presence. Let our hearts awake, we are desperate for your kingdom come. Breathe revival, let the darkness burn. We're gonna see the God of empty graves. Speak a word that calms the wind and waves. We're gonna see the dry bones come alive. We're gonna see the place where fire falls. Holy Spirit tearing down these walls by the power of the resurrected Christ. King of heaven, come and fill this place with your presence. Let our hearts awake, we are desperate for your kingdom come. Breathe revival, let the darkness burn. King of heaven, come and fill this place with your presence. Let our hearts awake, we are desperate for your kingdom come. Breathe revival, let the darkness burn. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you.
Oh. your name. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here today, God. We thank you for your sweet presence, Lord. We ask you just to minister to us, God. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for the blessings, Lord, for your blessing of just being able to come into your presence, Lord, all the time. We ask for your presence and you pour out your spirit upon this congregation, Lord, both here in person and those maybe that are online and those that aren't here today, God. Just minister to them right now, we pray. We pray that you would minister to this community, God. That, Lord, you would just break out a spirit of revival within this community, God. And then people would just come to you, Lord. And, Lord, that their hearts would be just convicted, Lord. And they would be totally come to you, God, we pray. Lord, we pray for the needs that are within this congregation, Lord. The needs that you know that everyone has, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will minister in a mighty way, whatever it may be, whether they need for safety, physical need, financial need, emotional need, whatever. We know we can bring it to you, God, and we know that you will take care of it, Lord. We pray for just testimonies where people would just share with us, God, of your great power and what you've done, Lord. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would be here for the rest of this service, Lord. But pray for that, Lord. And your word would just resonate with us, God. And teach us and let us our hearts be open to what it is that you have for us and what you're trying to speak with us today, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it is a good day to be here in the presence of the Lord, is it not?
Amen.
Awesome. So, today, just want to say that we are going to have a pot bless today. Right after the service, please head on down there, enjoy a meal with us. And yourselves, and let's have some good fellowship there with each other. Hey, just come on now. If you didn't bring anything with it, that's okay. Come on down. We want to be a blessing to you, and we would have a good meal there. Out in the foyer, there is a Christmas program sign-up. Our Christmas program is going to be on Sunday, December 11th at 10 a.m. If you're interested in doing a song, a skit, a song and dance, a song anyway, a skit, a poem, whatever it is that you have for the Lord, then please sign up and then let's join. And maybe if you don't feel like you want to do anything, please bless us by being there that day to watch everybody else and enter into that time. That would be a wonderful time. This Tuesday is Election Day, so get out. Your vote matters, and however you vote, let's do it, all right? This Friday at Trinity Bakery at 2 p.m. is our seniors ministry meeting, our SALT. We are a time of fellowship, so seniors, come on out there and enjoy that time. Also, ladies' coffee is this Saturday, November 12th at 9:30. It's going to be here at the church, and Gail Sturgis and Pam Fryer will be hosting that. That'll be awesome. Ladies, do that. And parents' night out for our High Point. Okay, yeah, Beth is real excited about that. Okay, for all the our students that go to the High Point after school there. We're going to bless the parents by just giving them a night out. They're going to bring the kids here. They're going to drop them off, and we're going to watch them for, you know, what is it, 2.5 hours, I think it is? Yeah, from 5 to 7:30 p.m. this Saturday, November 12th. So you know, that'll be great. And if you know some kids who would like to be in the first grade to fifth grade, sign them up for, introduce them to High Point there and let us know, and we can get them going, all right? But that's going to be a real blessing for them, okay? The Real Gals Christmas Party is Saturday, December 17th at 1 to 3 p.m. So all ladies you're all invited to be here. That's December 17th. It's a little ways away, but we're going to be doing that. So today is BGMC Sunday, as you can see. Boys and girls, mission crusade there. Today we are going to be talking about India today. And keep in mind the funds that are raised for BGMC, they go to materials for our missionaries to reach kids for the loss there. And I always take a little bit of time to read something from someone here, from one of our missionaries. And we are going to be doing India this morning. And I have a letter here from David Costin over in Rajasthan, India. All right? So he says, dear boys and girls, thank you so much for your sacrificial giving through BGMC for the Hope Village Project in Rajasthan, India. Your giving is helping us reach unreached people, and especially the children that are caught in the slave industry. With your help, we are now running a school in Ashagon, Hope Village, for families caught in slavery. The school will provide safe facilities, education, Bible training, school uniforms, and medical attention. This is all made possible because of your gifts. Currently, we have over 60 women, along with their children, coming daily to our center for the villages. We are in the process of doing vocational training of the women so that they no longer need to support themselves through the slave industry. We are so grateful for the contracts that we have acquired through Hobby Lobby to give these women work and teach them another trade as well as provide for their financial needs. They begin each day with a time of group devotions and prayer, and then they go to work for about 5 hours. While the women are there, their children are educated and trained in the ways of the Lord. God is at work in all of their lives, bringing transformation. The gospel will not only bring about the salvation of their souls, but also impact their culture and communities for generations to come. You are making an eternal difference in the lives of these needy people in India. God bless you richly. David Costin. That's just a wonderful story, is it not? It is. So up here, guys, we're going to pray for India. And I have a couple buckets up here for BGMC. So if you have any funds that you would like to be able to put towards that, towards this kind of project and around the world, let's be praying for our missionaries, the boys and girls through BGMC. These funds are really making a difference, and let you know on that. And we thank you guys so much for your support, because this church is really supporting this particular ministry in that regard. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for that, and then at the end here, I'm going to ask the kids to be dismissed here. But if you have something you want to go up here, you can put it up in the air, and maybe one of the kids there can come get it and bring it up here to the bucket for you. All right? So let's go ahead and let's pray for India. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for the testimony that's been happening over there in India, that you have been reaching them, reaching this Hope Village, God. We pray, Lord, for them right now, that you would just touch them and minister them any way. We ask that you place your hedge of protection around Hope Village there, God. And Lord, and bring these ladies out of this industry there for support, but you provide their financial needs and all of their physical needs, we pray, God. And they're not only that, their spiritual needs, Lord, that you can just touch them, God. You can bring them and their families, their children, and them to you, God. That's why we're here, God. We pray that you would just do that. You pour out your spirit upon them, God. We pray that you would use these funds how you would see fit. That would just spread your word around this particular, this globe, God, this earth that you've given us, Lord. And let us know, let them know you, God. We pray, God. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, kids, I see Lou's got something over there. So when somebody wants, and Charlene, a couple things right over here. All right, so kids, let's go ahead and go there. All right.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Doug. And Miss Beth, thank you for that ministry you have for BGMC. And after the kids are done putting in their offering, you guys are dismissed to go and learn about missions in India. Wonderful. This is Mission Sunday. We do like to make an emphasis for the adults as well, that if you are one who has given a faith promise to make sure missions continues to be ministered to, this is your opportunity to make sure that happens as well. One of the things that I mentioned a while back that I want to remind you of. Hey, bud, you putting in or taking out? Oh, you can put it in there. Awesome, good job. You know, you never know. You might be looking for change. I knew a guy that would do that. He'd only want to give so much in an offering, so he'd make his own change as the plate was passed. And he had a few funny looks from that. But we, from every offering that comes in, our general fund, we give 5% towards missions. Flat rate, whatever you give automatically is going towards missions to make sure that we're supporting our missionaries. And I felt it was important for us as a church to tithe in our general, as along with what you do as individuals. Many of you give missions givings outside of this offering plate. You support somebody specifically through a different channel. We do get reports of what that total giving is because we get designations of that. And it's an incredible amount that we give to missions every year. So thank you for your faithfulness in supporting missions, whether it's here through BGMC, through Speed the Light, whether it's through our monthly giving to our missionaries that are on the back bulletin board. However it is that you're led, thank you for that. And I was going to say something about pot blessings. You know, it's an interesting word change from what we're used to from years past. Pot lucks, as a child and growing up in all of my background, having attended many of them, I just decided somewhere all along the way that we should never resort to luck when it comes to food. Am I right? I don't want to get lucky and have something good. I believe in the blessings of God, so we don't want any luck involved with our food sharing time. So anyway, that aside, let's look to what the Word of God declares for us today. This is a text that God has put upon my heart a few weeks ago, and of course this last week I've been working it out on paper to give a message that I believe is for all of us. It's in light of what was given as a challenge to Ezekiel in chapter 33, beginning with verse 1. And the title is that we are called to be watchmen. Now, what is a watchman? Well, we don't have cities like they used to have back in the day. We don't have to have a wall to defend, to make sure that no military can come across the boundaries of our own protection, close the gates at evening, and if you're stuck outside, you're on your own, kind of a thing. But we do have the opportunity to learn from what the watchman's responsibility was, which I believe is our responsibility as well. Ezekiel 33, beginning with verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning and the sword comes and takes them away, his blood shall be upon his own head. That all makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. All sounds great. Verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman. Now I think that's a very key verse. Ezekiel did not have an option here. He was told, you are my watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he decides not to turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Powerful, challenging word from God for all of us. What I didn't know is that having this verse upon my heart in relationship to what we are going to be doing on Tuesday, if you haven't voted already, was that I was going to be challenged to live this out in a way I never fathomed this last week. I take that call from God very seriously. And that call has been tested. Not too many years ago in the previous church that we were ministering in, we had an opportunity to discuss some things that were on the ballot. In specificness, it was related to abortion. I was completely shocked and awed when we had the discussion in an adult Sunday school setting about whether or not we should vote for or against the measure, which would limit abortion to only in a crisis where the life of the mother was threatened. And what shocked me was someone who is a follower of Christ, I know they're born again, spoke up and said, I don't believe we have a right to tell others what they should or should not do in relationship to abortion. And of course, I addressed it as best I could in a very tactful and loving way. And so I wrote down some words that would relate to such a statement, I think, and it's in close relationship to what I shared at the time. We have laws that restrict how you drive your vehicle. We have speed limits. You must drive with a driver's license, and if you have your driver's license, that means you have gone through some testing. You must have insurance on your vehicle. You cannot drive under the influence of any alcoholic drink or drug. You must use your turn signals. I mean, come on, people. And don't get me started about whether we shouldn't be wearing our seatbelts or not. Remember that constitutional infringement discussion? And yet here we are today living under this authoritarianism telling us that I have to use my blinker that I must put a seatbelt on or I could get ticketed. It's a silly example, right? Is it? We have many different laws and rules around us that are for our own protection and the protection of others. And we have had a call by God to be watchmen in this world. When society will push an agenda that is harmful to children, or our culture, or our society, or our community, we have a responsibility to sound the alarm. It's not hate. It's not even judgment. Honestly, it's because we care. We care about our family. We care about our neighbors. We care about our communities. We care about our country. If you choose to be silent, people will suffer and their blood will be on your hands. This is obviously true for how we choose to get involved with the voting process. And I'm not going to go down the politic road. I'm not going there. But I do want to say this. If you're going to make statements of concern and you don't vote, then be quiet. You have just eliminated your right to speak. Get involved. Vote according to your conscience or your Holy Spirit guidance, if you will. That's just one measure. That's just one thing that can be related to this challenge of the watchmen. I mean, can you even imagine in your wildest dream or nightmare, if you will, that you wouldn't know which bathroom to use? I mean, it's insanity. And yet we have laws determining things that are just unconscionable. So we can certainly see the application when it comes to our rights as citizens of this country. Would this work in another part of the world? Maybe not. You may not have freedom in all parts of this world. There may be an authoritarian dictatorship type of government that does not give you a choice. And so it may not fit that particular picture of speaking as a watchman and voting what you believe is right. However, it does work in the most important way, and that is whether you share your faith about Jesus Christ or not. Well, I'm not very good with being an evangelist. Well, so blow the trumpet. Share your love of God. Share your faith with someone, because the day will come when they will no longer have a choice. But what if they say no? What if they reject me? Then they do. They reject. But you have spoken, and their blood is no longer on your hands. It's important that we choose to share our love of God with others, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, even though it's not my top priority to mention when I share my faith, there is a place where it has to be revealed that judgment is coming. Eternity without God is damnation and hell. And hell is not the end. Hell itself will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire. Hell is not the worst place. Is that something that people should know about? Yes. Is that your first priority? No. Your first priority is to love people and share the love of Christ. And let his love of them become the most important part of your evangelistic outreach, to share your faith with someone, to say, listen, I care about you. I care enough to tell you the truth. And if they accept that and they receive Christ as your savior, as their savior, guess what? They have saved themselves from the judgment of God. Praise God. If they choose to ignore it, well, then that's their right. Amen? But you have done your part because you love them enough to say what God has placed upon your heart. Be a watchman to the world. Ezekiel 33, verse 7 and 9, 7 through 9, specifically targets that challenge. You, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Now, I can certainly take this upon myself in a very specific and personal way, because I have a different call than you do, or at least I don't want to assume that, because somebody might have the same call I do and one day will be leading a church as a pastor, which would be cool and awesome. But that is my call, and so I have a specific responsibility as your shepherd to give you the truth of God's word. And I enjoy that. I love doing this. I love sharing the insights from God's word. But we all have the responsibility to share our love of God with others. God tells Ezekiel, when you hear from me, you need to speak to them. And it's all laid out in verse 7 through verse 9. Look with me to Luke chapter 12, and let's see this challenge of responsibility that we have as followers of God. Luke 12, beginning with verse 35. Says here, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Now, normally in the New Testament, when you see the reference for lamps and oil, it's referencing the Holy Spirit. Here we have this visual of basically when it's dark outside and you'd like to be sleeping and in your comfortable bed, you need to stay awake. Keep the light on. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third. First watch is from 6 to 9. Second watch is from 9 till midnight. Third watch, by the way, is from midnight till 3 in the morning. I don't know about you, but I like to be sleeping around that time. I just assume not have to be awake waiting for my master to come home. But this is the scenario. There's a servant who's given a responsibility, and he's basically being told, don't go to sleep. Do your job. You have a responsibility. Don't fall short. Know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now Peter, being Peter, is usually the one that wants to speak up. He actually does a pretty good job here, I think. I'll commend him for it. It's a good question. Lord, are you telling us, meaning the 12, or everybody? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Well, you know, I did it once. It wasn't that big a deal. I guess I can do that again. And pretty soon you have a pattern of sinfulness. Well, don't get so comfortable, because judgment is coming. The time will come where you'll be held accountable. The hammer will fall, if you will. That servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. Well, that's just terrible, isn't it? How does that relate to where we are today? Well, we'll break that down as we go, but let's just say it simply. You are a servant of God. What is God's will as your master? Ezekiel was told, "You I have chosen to be my watchman over Israel." And you know the New Testament well enough that Jesus also gave us commands. And of course, one of the highest commands, and we'll get to it later on in our second point, is that we are to share the love of Jesus Christ with this world. The gospel must be shown to our world. We must become his witnesses. Are you doing the master's will? Are you faithfully blowing the trumpet, warning the people, sharing the words of God? James chapter 4, verse 17 is an interesting verse. It says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Well, that's just rude. Because that can mean so many things. What could that possibly be in reference to? Well, we could certainly look at the whole context of it. Basically, we're going to buy and sell and do business because, hey, you know, this is what we do. Who are you to make plans like this? You are but a mist. You're there for a moment, then you're gone. If it's the Lord's will, I will buy and sell and do business. And then this verse pops up. If you know the right thing, the good you should be doing, and you don't do it, that's sin. When God speaks to your heart through the power of his Holy Spirit and says to be kind and share the love of God with that individual that's a complete stranger, and you don't do it, guess what that's called? Sin. Well, I don't know that verse. I can't find that in the Ten Commandments. No, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you, challenging you to speak. And when you don't, that's sin for you. It's interesting about all the gray areas there are in our world today, because there's no chapter and verse that tells us how we're supposed to use the internet. Right? Thus saith the Lord, when you're on the internet, avoid these sites. It doesn't say that. And yet the Holy Spirit, who is awesome, is very clear on where I should or shouldn't be. There's no gray areas in my life when the Holy Spirit's involved. The good that I know I should do, I need to do. Because if I don't do that, it is sin for me. As a servant of God, we need to be ready, and we should be busy doing the Lord's work when he comes. Going back to our text, Ezekiel chapter 33. I forgot I was going to keep that marked, and I didn't. Just beyond where I quit reading in chapter 33 is where I'm going to pick up on verse 12. "You, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yes, that's good news. Yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered, but in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. What? Now, granted, we're talking about Old Testament scripture here. But let me say this. If you think that you're a follower of Christ, you said a prayer at an altar, and you're good to go, and you can just live your life as you will, and you can do whatever you want, you're wrong. That's not salvation. James addresses that. He says, you say you have faith? The demons know God. They shudder. I'll show you my faith by what I do. Really? Yeah. Because I've been called by God to be a watchman, and when he speaks, I speak. I blow the trumpet. Why? Because I care, and I have a responsibility to be a watchman in my world. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. Yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, but he shall surely live. He shall not die. There is an opportunity for repentance, forgiveness. Jonah knows that very well. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. There is a great wickedness there. They need to know the truth. And Jonah did not, by the way, run from God. He ran from the call of God. Why did he do this? Because he knew that God is gracious and merciful and loving, and he will forgive if they repent. So I shall be judge and jury, and I'm not going to tell them that there's a way of repentance. I will not point out their evil and their deeds. I am going to let them die in their sin, and hopefully God will destroy them like he said he would. And so the most hateful thing you could ever imagine in all of this world was Jonah's heart. To say, I will not go there and I will not give them a chance. I want them to die in their sin. You want proof? Read the last chapter. He sat there waiting for the fire of God to come, but it didn't come. Why? Because they ripped their clothes and they sat in ashes and they repented in anguish and said, oh, forgive us, Lord God. And God forgave. And Jonah was mad. I knew you were a gracious and loving, kind God. That's why I didn't want to go. Well, let me ask you where you're at. Do you think people deserve to die in their sin? You won't give them an opportunity to hear that there is another way. There is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The most hateful thing you could ever do in this world is to keep your mouth shut and not share the love of Jesus Christ. If they listen, praise God, they have avoided the same thing you have. They have found the grace of God just as you have found his grace. If they choose to ignore and choose another way, that's on them. It's not on you. But God forbid the soul that won't share the gospel with others, and God's judgment comes. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Don't think you're getting away with it. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. So now we're talking within the brotherhood here. If someone is walking away from God, you better help them out. Speak up. Love them enough and care enough to say. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning and you will have delivered your soul. Whew, that's heavy stuff there, isn't it? One more verse about the watchman, our responsibility. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. We love to focus on the wisdom, the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs. That's church to us, right? We kind of skip over that other part, teaching and admonishing. So let me point out the big word. Admonishing is to caution against specific faults. It's a warning. Yes, you have a responsibility to your brother and sister to admonish. If you know the good that you ought to do and you don't do it, it is sin. Now, let's bring it back to the original purpose, why God gave me the text. We have a nation that we all love. It's in crisis. I cannot hardly even comprehend some of the things that are happening. They are beyond my ability to grasp. It makes no sense to me, some of what we have to address. But I'm going to address it. I'm going to speak. I'm going to vote. I'm going to be involved because I think it's important to be the watchman that sounds the trumpet. Now, there's a lot of things I'm not going to do. At this time, I don't believe I'm going to go and grab a stick and a poster board and pick it in front of anything right now. I mean, if God tells me to, I got to do it. Right? But I'm not doing that because God didn't tell me to do that. I want to be led by His Holy Spirit. Now, if God tells you to do that, that's another thing. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. Apparently, there's some people that are in prison or in jail today because they prayed in an abortion clinic. Now, did they break the law? Yes, they did. The law stated they had to stay on the sidewalks. They couldn't go in the building. And so they are in jail today. Should they be? Well, we can certainly debate that, can't we? But if they're followers of Christ, if they're true believers, then I don't think that they're suffering in their misery and having disappointments and regrets. More than likely, they're sitting there thinking, I did what God asked me to do, and this is the consequence of breaking the law. So be it. My voice has been heard. Yes, there's a consequence. I broke the law of the state, but I blew the trumpet. I'm not going to judge them for that. Nor am I going to feel sorry for them for being in jail. Is that harsh? I don't know, maybe. But if you are going to break a law, you're going to have a consequence. If you decide, you know what, I can drive 100 miles per hour. I'm a safe driver. I got a fast car. Let's go. Well, there's a consequence for that. I won't feel sorry for you. Do we ever break the laws of man in order to hold up the laws of God? Yes. If it becomes illegal for me to preach God's word, I'm going to probably go to jail. Because I'm not going to stop. And by the way, I do want to say this when it comes to abortion, which I think is killing children. My heart grieves more for the woman than it does the child. I'm sorry if that's hard for you to hear, but I grieve for the person that's doing the abortion and the doctors and the nurses more than the child itself. I know where that child is today, in the loving arms of God. It's a raw deal that they didn't have a chance to live their life like I have. It's really sad that they didn't get to grow up and have a choice. But I do believe in the power of God's grace that they, without an opportunity to choose him, are with him. But my heart goes out to the person that's had an abortion. If you're one of them, I pray for you. Because it's a very heavy burden that can be forgiven, but it takes a lot of grace and a lot of time. I grieve for the person that's had that happen in their life. Whether it was their choice or they were forced by a boyfriend or a father, I don't know. But that's where my heart is when I think about that. The reason I vote for life is to save that grief for that person, that woman, that young woman, that young man, that family. And so I voice the best I can to save that grief and that heartache. But I love the people regardless of the action. In this postmodern world, we are told to mind our own business. This concept has affected our children. It's affected our church even, specifically and generally. Our new world says that there is no such thing as an absolute truth, and so they live by an abstract truth that has no base. Your truth and my truth are not the same truth. You live your truth, I'll live my truth. Just leave me alone with my truth, and I'll leave you alone with your truth. What's really interesting about that is it's not true. From the perception of they're living their truth and telling me that I can have mine, now I'm being told I can't. I'm being told I can't have faith in God, that if I speak to Jesus and he speaks to me, that I'm insane and I might have to go to some kind of insane asylum, that I have a mental handicap of some kind. But my beliefs are no longer tolerated in this world from the very people that say, I have a truth and you have a truth, we all have a truth, live by your own truth. No, except for you, you born-again believing Christians, we can't tolerate you at all. Isn't that ironic to you? It ought to throw a tremendous number of red flags that we have a world that is hateful towards Christians for a reason, because it's demonic. Don't bother me with your truth, and I won't bother you with mine. Well, that used to be the case, no longer. Regardless of what our world says we should or shouldn't be doing, we need to listen to what God has called us to be and to do, and that is to be a watchman. We must sound the alarm. We cannot stay on the sidelines. We must be involved. God does not ask, he tells. And that's what Ezekiel found out. He was told, I have chosen you to be a watchman. And I believe he has chosen all of us as well. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15 with me. He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That was not an option. It's not something that we debate. It's not something that is negotiable. He says, go. What's all the world? Well, I'm not going to Africa. I'm not going to go to India. Your kids are talking about India right now. No, but are you going to go to your neighbor? That's part of this world, is it not? Let's begin there. And let's see where God takes us from that point. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to your neighbor. That's what Jerusalem represents. To Judea, that's the state. Samaria, that's the country. And beyond the United States of America, to the entire world. You notice it doesn't say to witness. It says you will be a witness. There's a difference between doing and being. If you are a witness of God's love in this world, if you are a physical emotional, mental, spiritual representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's you who is the witness. Your life is a demonstration of his love. Your life is a demonstration of his gospel. Your life is the gospel. It's not about doing, it's about being. We are called to be watchmen. Because we are disciples, we must go. We must be. We are the watchmen in this world. We are watchmen to our church. We are watchmen to our families. And so that brings us to the final point. One was be a watchman to the world. Two, God does not ask, he tells. Well, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. Yeah, you did. When you gave me your life, you signed up. So number three, let's sound the alarm before it's too late. Look with me to 2 Timothy. You all know these passages. It's just good to be reminded of when it is we're living. It's pretty clear of what we have crossed as a threshold into a new age of wow. What else can I say? Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, if that doesn't define our culture of today, nothing else can. And it's not just an American problem, it's a worldwide problem. We are living in the last days. The enemy has been given so much freedom to roam to and fro, to cause all kinds of trouble, and he is very successfully accomplishing what he wants. It says here that there is an appearance of godliness in verse 5, but denying its power. Well, what is that? Well, that's what I would call a great definition of religion. Religion is a hoax. It's not a crutch. It can't even hold up the lame. Religion is a farce. It's a lie. We all know that religion does not save souls. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ can save my soul, and he is the only one that can save any soul. There's plenty of religious people, plenty of religion. There's far too much of it, if you want to know my opinion, but there's very little relationship happening with God through Jesus Christ. And you wonder why our world is the way it is. Well, they've relied on religion for too long, and it has failed. If you go to the next chapter, the challenge becomes personal. We recognize the time we're living, that it's obviously happening right before our very eyes. And this is our charge. This is our watchman call, if you will. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. There's something absolutely freeing about that statement. My opinion doesn't matter. It's God's opinion that matters. Because he is the absolute truth. And so I speak his word, preach his word. You speak his word, you preach his word. You live his word. You share his word and you love. You're not a clanging cymbal. You're not a gong that needs to be dealt with. You are a spirit-filled follower of Christ that loves people and is willing to love them enough to tell them about his grace and his forgiveness. And also in the mix of all of that, recognizing that there is judgment that will come upon this earth one day. And if you don't know him, you'll be eternally separated from him. You have a responsibility to preach the word of God. I have that responsibility to preach the word of God. I'm not talking about what I do behind this pulpit. I'm talking about what I do in my weekdays, Monday through Saturday as well. Be ready in season and out of season. I tell you what, there's times where I wished I had more preparation. But I didn't get the heads up. It's right there in my face. What do I do? I can only do one thing. I can go to the Word of God and let His Word be my guide. His truth is the only truth that matters. And that I can do instant, in season, out of season. And what is it that I can do and we can do and all of us are challenged to do as watchmen in our world, in our culture, in our country? Well, we can reprove. We can rebuke. However, we can also exhort. We can compliment and say, praise God, you're doing well. With complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, people, and it's here, by the way, when they will not put up with sound doctrine. They will not put up with sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Wow. You mean I don't have an option? I don't get a choice. Lord, how should we pray? I'll tell you how you can pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's your will, Lord? What am I supposed to do as your servant? Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. What am I supposed to do as a follower of Christ? Allow the Holy Spirit to impact me in such a way that I am a witness of Jesus Christ no matter what I say and what I do, because it's who I am. And how am I supposed to be faithfully sharing these words and these truths? The Word of God is your foundation. Preach and teach and live by the Word of God. You see, that's the one thing that doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God, the Word who became flesh, Jesus Christ himself and his Word are not going to change. His truth is still truth. His love is still vibrant and wonderful and true. But also, we have to recognize that the judgment to come is also very real. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is the last passage I'd like to read. Verse 1 through verse 11. Good words to be prepared for, because remember the little parable I shared? That was back in Luke chapter 12. Well, let's keep that in mind when we consider these words. Concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains and come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep. Sound familiar? As others do, but let us keep awake. Be sober, For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Let's be alert. Let's be awake. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. I believe Jesus is coming soon. I believe the evidence is all around us. We are living in the last days. If you want evidence of that, beyond what I've already shared, I could certainly give you more, but I think I've shared enough. And the day is coming when the trump shall sound and the dead in Christ will rise. And all of us who are still alive are going to go up to meet him in the air. Every now and then I like to do a little rapture practice. Woo, let's go. It's going to be one of those days. I don't know if jumping helps. We'll find out. Why is he not here yet? Well, according to the word of God, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. For what reason? Because he's patiently waiting for more salvations. There's a soul that hasn't been saved yet that needs Jesus. And if he doesn't come tonight, it's because there's another soul that needs Jesus tomorrow that needs to be saved. If he doesn't come Monday, it's going to be Tuesday, unless there's a soul that he has determined must be saved before I come. And when he has finished his tally, if you will, the trump's going to sound. I believe in our spirit we're going to know the urgency in a greater way as the time comes closer and closer. And that urgency is becoming more and more obvious. But until he comes, I'm going to keep the lamp lit. The light's going to shine. And I'm going to be that guy that's going to share the love of God and his truth, regardless of what the reaction is. Because I love enough to be truthful and honest. Will you join me in that promise? Let's together say, I will be the watchman. Would you stand with me as we close? Lord, thank you for the challenge. I need this. I need to know my responsibility to solidify it in my heart. But Lord, I need your love to be the greatest thing within. The most influential and the most powerful. Help me to be more like you as I take up the challenge that you've given. Help us all to love better and yet give us the courage to speak. Because if we don't speak, and the judgment comes, their blood is on our hands. And that's not your way. Give us the courage that's tempered with your love and your grace. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to pray for the meal before I dismiss you to go downstairs. Thank you for staying for the pot blessing. And I know you will be blessed. I can smell the food from here. So